Welcome to the St. George's Leeds podcast. Sharing life, loving Leeds.
My name is Lizzie Wolfe. I'm the rector here. And tonight we are going to continue our series on fruitfulness on the front line. Eve and Tim have already mentioned it. We're following through Mark Green's book and we're looking at how we can make a difference wherever we are. Now, for those of you who weren't here 2 weeks ago, let me catch you up on some of the key concepts, or indeed if you were here 2 weeks ago but you can't quite remember what we were talking about. Basically, you need to know what we mean by front lines and what we mean by fruitfulness. So, front lines are anywhere that you go fairly regularly and meet with people who don't know Jesus. So that could be your workplace, it could be your student house, it could be your school, it could be the library, a regular coffee that you have with friends, anything like that. Somewhere that you go fairly regularly and meet with people who don't know Jesus. And fruitfulness means a godly life that fulfills the purposes God has for it, bringing glory to God. Over the next 6 weeks, we're going to look at six different ways to be fruitful. They all begin with an M, so they're called the six M's. And you can see them on the screens. You can also see them on these little cards that hopefully you are handed on the way in. The idea of those is that you can pop them in your wallet or in a bag or something like that, and you can use them to remind you what we're talking about and to pray through as we pray that God will help us to be fruitful on our front lines. Now, in a moment or two, I'm going to help us to look at that first M, modeling godly character. But before we do that, we thought it would be good to hear from a couple of congregation members just talking about their front lines. So we're going to hopefully do this each week as we go through the series, hearing from a range of different people reflecting on different front lines. So tonight, we're going to hear from Lisa and then from Alex.
So I've already said my front line recently has been Uber drivers, meeting Uber drivers. So, Lisa, you've been quite excited about this sermon series.
Yes.
Tell us why and tell us what you've thought about as your one of your front lines.
Yes, so I've been excited about the series. When they had a little introduction a couple of weeks ago and Lizzie went through the sort of six M's, one thing came to my mind, and that is Instagram and social media. Basically, 3 or 4 years ago, I was thinking, you know, where is my front line? I've worked for St. George's for 9 years now, and 6 out of 7 of my days are spent here. So most of the people I interact with are Christians. So I was thinking, where is my front line? And I decided at that time to start an Instagram account. And to make it very focused on things like lifestyle, books, fashion, makeup, talking about mental health, things that are very relatable no matter what your beliefs are, and then to bring in my faith into that in a very relaxed and natural kind of way.
And so you've found that as your front line, and where has some of the fruitfulness or interaction been that you've already seeing God at work in?
So in like a few different ways. So there have been a couple of times over the years where I've been a bit more overt about my faith. I've done like a couple of series. Like a few years ago, I did something on the fruit of the Spirit. And so once a week I talked about love or joy or peace. And that was very accessible because lots of people can like think about those things and you can bring in a faith perspective. Or last Christmas, I did a series on Advent. But more of the day-to-day stuff is simply getting to know people online, coming alongside people. My experience is a lot of people are actually very honest. Sometimes places like Instagram can get the sort of reputation of people being very fake. But a lot of the people that I follow are very honest about things like mental health or the things that they are struggling with. And so recently, there was a girl that I follow, and we've chatted a lot, and she put that she'd been really struggling. So I messaged her about that, and I sort of prayed about it, and I thought, God, is this the time for me to offer to pray rather than just to pray and not tell her? And I felt him say yes. So I sort of just put in, like, you know, I'm a person who believes that when we pray, God acts. So I hope it's okay, but I'll be praying for you. And I didn't hear back from her for a week. And I thought, oh no, I've like overstepped the mark. It was too much. But then I got a message from her last weekend saying that prayer must have worked because lots of things have fallen into place over the week and she's in a much better place now. And thanked me for the support of that.
Thank you so much. And so you can see already some of those M's at work on Instagram. Thank you, Lisa. That's wonderful. And now we're going to talk to Alex as well about his front line. There he is. You can clap as well, yeah. So, Alex, we had a chat over coffee. And what did you think about as your front lines at the moment?
So, for me, for my front lines, I spend most of my days working in LGI as a physio. And so that takes up the majority of my time. I'm also quite into sport, and so I do. I have a running club every week that I go to, and so they were my sort of two front lines that I could think about where I just meet and interact with people.
Fab. And we talked about how your idea of fruitfulness had been shifted even from the first talk that we had a couple of weeks ago, from maybe that moreover expressing your faith, which you can't always do in healthcare, to different types of fruitfulness. And what are some of the ways that you've been inspired to think about what God is already doing in your work?
Yeah, so it's like thinking about the people who God has put me with. I always try and befriend them, and like my colleagues, and like praying into situations at work, whether that be like busyness or for like, sometimes it's about praying for patients, even though like you wouldn't tell them, but you still pray into the situation and pray that God will act. About just going the extra mile with people and actually like loving and treating my patients with dignity and loving them like practically in that way. And that's, yeah.
That's brilliant. That's great. And it leads very wonderfully onto Lizzie giving us the next part of our talk. Thank you, Alex.
Fantastic. Well, Jess is going to come and read to us from the Bible. Just as she's coming up, I have one more copy of this to give away. The only condition is that you've got to promise to read it. Who would like it? Oh, over there at the back. Well done. Hand went up very speedily. Fantastic. And then, Jess, whenever you're ready, do read to us.
So the reading today is taken from page 1107, and we're in Galatians chapter 5, verses 16 to 26. So I say, live by the Spirit, and you will not gratify the desires of the sinful nature. For the sinful nature desires what is contrary to the Spirit, and the Spirit what is contrary to the sinful nature. They are in conflict with each other, so that you are not to do whatever you want. But if you are led by the Spirit, you are not under the law. The acts of the sinful nature are obvious: sexual immorality, impurity, and debauchery, idolatry, and witchcraft, hatred, discord, jealousy, fits of rage, selfish ambition, dissensions, factions, and envy, drunkenness, orgies, and the like. I warn you, as I did before, that those who live like this will not inherit the kingdom of God. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Against such things there is no law. Those who belong to Christ Jesus have crucified the sinful nature with its passions and desires. Since we live by the Spirit, let us keep in step with the Spirit. Let us not become conceited, provoking, and envying each other. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God. Well, thank you very much. So tonight we're going to look at that first M, which is modelling godly character. Now, I don't know about you, but I don't very often think of myself as modelling godly character to other people. I think the situation that I'm most conscious of it in is as a parent. I know that in that situation, I am supposed to be the grown-up all the time, and I can't expect my children to be kind or to handle frustration well unless I show them what that looks like consistently. Now, there might be some situations that are a bit like that in your workplace, particularly if you've got responsibility for training others. But generally speaking, we probably don't expect our colleagues, our family, our course mates to look at us and go, wow, that is godliness. But funnily enough, I do find myself sometimes thinking that about other people. I remember going on a mission trip to a very poor part of Russia many years ago. We were traveling to an area that the Foreign Office recommended not traveling to, and we were all feeling really anxious about it. Apart from this one elderly man called Martin, who was part of the team, and he had just this amazing peace. It was almost like a radiance. And I remember looking at him and the biblical phrase, the beauty of holiness, kind of popped into my head. And I still remember him all these years later. I wonder if you've ever known anybody like that. Now, our passage from Galatians chapter 5 tells us that there are two ways to live. The first way is according to our sinful nature. Now, this leads to all sorts of bad behavior, things like hatred, jealousy, fits of rage, selfish ambition, factions. The second way to live is by the Spirit. So this leads to good things like love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. It's really no surprise that God calls us to live the second way. Whether we call it living by the Spirit, being holy, or modeling a godly character, the second way is clearly the way to go. It's best for us. And modeling godly character is one of the ways that we can bring glory to God by being fruitful on our front lines. So what does it look like to model godly character on your particular front line, wherever that is? That's the question that I'd love you to be thinking about as we go through this material tonight. To help us think about that, I want to actually look at three things that modeling godly character is not. So three things that godly character is not. And the reason I'm looking at these is to help us try and work out what it is. So the first thing is that character is not the same thing as personality. I think this one can be a bit confusing because sometimes the terms are used interchangeably. Now, personality is things like whether someone's an introvert or an extrovert. It's whether you're funny or gruff, shy, gregarious, serious, flamboyant, or placid. These things are neutral in the sense that it's not that one is better than another. We might decide that we like certain personality types more than others, but God likes all personality types. God enjoys your personality. He's delighted when you are completely yourself. Sometimes people start to think of particular personality traits as being particularly holy. For example, I have found that people often expect vicars to be quiet, serious men with an interest in church architecture and a love of hymns. Now, there may be some vicars like that, but you don't have to be like that to be a vicar. And it's not any holier than any other kind of personality. Everyone is called to model godly character, whatever their personality. Now, character is things like love, joy, and peace. It's whether you're courageous and humble, trustworthy, merciful, and kind. As you read through the Bible, you find that the Bible tells us very little about people's personalities, but focuses on whether they're modeling godly character. So let me give you an example of that. If you take the story of Mary and Martha in Luke chapter 10, you'll find that in this story, Mary makes a good, godly choice. She chooses to sit at Jesus' feet, listening to what he says. So we know that she was wise. That's part of her character. But we don't know anything at all about her personality. She may have been quiet and serene. I think people often think of her like that. But she might have been mischievous and playful. You know, actually, I quite like to imagine her skipping into the room where Jesus was teaching the male disciples and sitting down at the front with a conspiratorial wink at Jesus. We don't know. We're just not told what her personality was like. So character is not the same thing as personality. The second thing is that godly character is not all about being nice. Jesus is the only person who models godly character perfectly. And what do we know about him? Well, Jesus resolutely sets out for Jerusalem, knowing the cross awaits him. He calmly makes himself a whip to throw the money changers out of the temple. He calls the respectable Pharisees a brood of vipers. He shocks the establishment by eating and drinking with tax collectors and sinners and letting a prostitute wash his feet. He rebukes his dinner host for not treating him properly. Jesus was not always what we think of as Mr. Nice Guy. Faithfulness to his mission, obedience to his Father, and love for his people demanded more. And it's similar for us. When we follow Jesus, we don't just glide through life with a nice smile. Modeling godly character on our front lines demands more than that, at times a lot more. So character is not the same as personality, and godly character is not all about being Mr. Nice Guy. Thirdly, godly character is not about our actions. Godly character does lead to certain types of behavior and action, but it's deeper than that. Character is about the kind of person that we are, so that other people come to expect a certain type of response from us, even if we're under pressure. Mark Green describes it using the analogy of trees. An apple tree produces apples. It can't help it, it's just what apple trees do. Godly character is about becoming a love tree, so that we can't help but produce loving actions. Or a patience tree, so that our responses to different situations are always patient. He tells the story of someone called Chua Wei-hian, who was the retiring general secretary of a global student organization. He had to deal with all sorts of challenges, financial, theological, even persecution. At his leaving party, one of his closest colleagues described him like this. Mr. Chua was like a catcher in baseball. However hard you throw the ball at him, it always comes back gently. Now, all our front lines are different, but I hope that by now God is beginning to fire your imagination. I hope that you're beginning to see what it might look like to model godly character on your particular front line, wherever that is. The next question that we need to ask, though, is how do we do it? Modeling godly character is not something that we can do in our own strength, especially not amidst the pressure and the challenges of our front lines. But God doesn't ask us to do it on our own. We're not supposed to grit our teeth and dredge up a bit of love from somewhere deep inside us. In fact, Tom Wright points out that if you suspect that someone who is being kind to you is having to try very hard to do it, the kindness itself loses some of its flavor. If we want to model godly character on our front lines, we need God's help. And in particular, we need His Holy Spirit. A consultant psychiatrist called Ken told his story of meeting God on an Alpha course like this. He said, "I accepted the common sense wrapped up in Christian mumbo jumbo as relatively harmless and was ready to go to the pub. There was an opportunity for prayer, and I was happy to be able to sit with two friends who could pray harmlessly. I was quite surprised to be knocked back into my seat by a force. I was filled with an irrational sense of relief, followed by joy and then intense relaxation. I now realize this was the Holy Spirit." Then he says this, "At work, I tried to cap any behavioral changes in case anyone asked what was wrong. However, I was impressed by the perceptiveness of many friends and colleagues who said I was so much easier to be with and to work with. Someone asked what I was on and where to get it. My ability to be seen as a supportive, trustworthy colleague and friend has increased. That nagging self-reproach that followed failure has all but gone. I expected all this to wear off like any fad. But several years later, my sense of God's grace, love, and immediacy is stronger than ever." Should say that we run the Alpha course here at St. George's. And if you are new to the Christian faith, you're just exploring what it might mean for you, we would love you to join us on our current Alpha course. It started last Wednesday, but it's not too late to join. You can come and join us this Wednesday in the evening down in the centre. Now, the Holy Spirit is available to all Christians. We don't have to twist God's arm or prove ourselves worthy. God loves to give us His Holy Spirit. And there's going to be an opportunity to pray and to receive the Holy Spirit at the end of this service. If we want to model godly character on our front lines, we need the Holy Spirit. But having said that, there are still some things for us to do. Our passage in Galatians puts it like this. It says we must crucify our sinful nature with its passions and desires and keep in step with the Holy Spirit. In other words, we must become aware of how our sinful nature continues to express itself and then proactively seek God's help in transforming those areas. The main way that we do that is through confession and prayer. So we pray prayers like these. "Oh Lord, I've become really anxious about this. I'm so sorry. Please help me to get hold of the truth that you're in control. Please give me your peace that passes understanding." Or this one. "Father, I am so sorry that I was intimidated and I missed that opportunity. Please forgive me. Please help me to be more courageous next time." As you pray this kind of prayer, remember that God loves you. When you confess your sins, he forgives. And when you ask for his help, he delights to answer. Often, we find that our front lines are themselves a brilliant teaching arena. Mark Green tells the story of a time that he was asked by a client to produce a complicated spreadsheet at very short notice. He worked hard and late to get it done, but as he did so, resentment simmered away. When he faxed it off early the next morning, the last sentence of his covering letter said this: "I am your most obedient and humble servant." Later that morning, the board director in charge of the account asked him to come into her office. "That was a terrific piece of work, Mark," she said, "thoroughly spoilt by the arrogant way you ended the letter." Now, here's what Mark Green had to say about that. "She was right, of course. I'd allowed my resentment to get the better of me and had managed to turn victory into defeat with an outburst of petty, petulant arrogance. But here's the thing. Where had the King of the Universe decided to teach me about my pride? Not in the sanctuary of the church, though he does it there too. Not in my home group, nor with my prayer partner, nor over coffee with Christian friends. But right there on my front line, in the middle of my ordinary day, with my wise, though not necessarily church-going, boss. What might God be trying to teach you on your front line? When it comes to modeling godly character, what are the pressure points for you? Who are the people and what are the situations where you know that you need the Holy Spirit to help you? Are there situations where you wish you had called on God to help you? Perhaps situations where you'd like to be a bit different next time?
Thank you for listening to the St. George's Leeds podcast. For more talks or information, visit stgs.org.uk.